Breaking It Down with Frank McKay. The most intriguing talk in talk radio.
I'd like to welcome everyone to Ransom Notes. Frank McKay here. So much more importantly, Kathy Ransom is our host each and every week. She's the subject of a documentary, and she is the author of two books and counting, and we'll talk about them a little more a little later. But without further ado, Erin Go Bragh, which is what one of those things you say around St. Patrick's Day, and happy St. Patrick's Day to all out there listening, whether you celebrate or not. And Kathy, happy St. Patrick's Day.
The same to you. I hope you had a good day yesterday. I remembered to wear a green sweater to church yesterday morning, and I would say a great many in the audience had green on, and that's sort of fun. You know, I find the day sort of an interesting one. It's relatively low key in our part of the country because probably we don't have too many Irish, but our city has an Irish St. Patrick's Day parade on Saturday, and so that's a good time to not be downtown. It gets busy.
Yeah, right. That's very good. In New York City, it's definitely good not to be downtown unless you're participating or enjoying the parade. You don't want to. You don't have to want to be working in the city at that time.
Chicago is an interesting city because there are lots of Irish up there, and one thing that they're known for is they put some dye in the river on St. Patty's Day, and so it turns green. And I'm sure it looks interesting, but I decided long ago I didn't really want to swim in green water because I might not get it off my body. I have no idea what it is. I think they used to put it in for a long time, and now I think whatever they put in dissolves very quickly, and I'm sure it's environmentally safe. But I was reading a little bit about St. Patty's Day, and apparently that's the day when a lot of people plant their cabbage seeds on St. Patty's Day. This is what's so funny. Old-time farmers allegedly, I have no way to verify it, believed that to make those cabbage seeds grow well, they had to plant them in their pajamas. Seems just a little bit strange, but, you know, maybe the Irish... You have Irish blood?
Yes, I do.
Did you ever hear your great-grandfathers talk about planting cabbage seeds in his pajamas?
No, my grandfather was, you know, the Irish one was a mechanic, and he wasn't too ambitious, and I couldn't imagine him planting. I can see if he's going to plant anything, he'd be doing it in his pajamas because I think he slept quite a bit. But that's just me.
The other interesting piece of information that apparently St. Patrick, who has his name hanging on to St. Patrick's Day, was asked one time why he mentioned and used the three-leaf clover as part of that holiday. And the legend has it, and again, it's a legend, and I'm old, but not old enough to have been there when that first started, that he used the three leaves to explain the Holy Trinity, that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, which, considering that it does have great religious amplifications or applications, St. Patrick's Day does, that is interesting that he thought about, here is going to teach his audience about the Holy Spirit, about God, and about Jesus, and, well, I'll just take in a nice, fresh three-leaf clover. And I thought that was just a little bit of interest. Did you have any corned beef and cabbage yesterday?
No, I didn't. I didn't have it. I'm not crazy about corned beef and cabbage, to be honest with you. And I know that's a no-no to say right around St. Patrick's Day, especially if you have a name like McKay. But, for whatever reason, I've never gotten a great taste for it. I'll eat it a little just for tradition, but... Yeah, you know, it's funny. I've never developed a taste. How about you?
We shepherd's pie is what we went out on
Me
Saturday.
Too. Yeah.
There is a place here very near where we live where they have really, really incredibly outstanding, and it's such a big serving that Marianne and I got one order of that and the salad that went with it, and shared it, and had plenty to eat. But oh man, good shepherd's pie. I enjoy corned beef and cabbage, but I prefer shepherd's pie over it. So when you have a chance to get shepherd's pie, it had to win. I'm sorry, but I want us to take just a few moments today to talk about sort of a, I guess I would call it in a sense, a semi-serious topic as I get older and older, and that's the concept of throw or no throw. Do we cast something aside or do we keep it? And it hasn't been too long, but well, actually, it's just about exactly 3 years from today. On April Fool's Day, my friend and I, two fools, moved into Concordia Village here. And preceding that move, we had to obviously go through our home where we had lived for 42 years. And do you collect things at your house?
100%. My wife says I'm a hoarder.
I know. It's crazy. And so we were throwing things away and giving things away and selling some. But one of the very last things that we had to do was just before the day we were to move in, we needed to go down into the freezer, which was in the lower level of our home. And it had quite a few things in it, and we didn't want to just leave them in the refrigerator or the freezer, pardon me. So we were deciding what do we want to take and bring here and put in the refrigerator, which was a much smaller freezer. And as we're going through things, we would say, yes, we'll keep that. No, that one's so old. It's been down in the bottom of the freezer. We'll just throw it. Go, throw, keep, throw, no throw. But as we're doing it, we realize, among other things, that we had a lot of homemade jam. And I would suppose we had three dozen different small containers or more of raspberry, strawberry, blueberry jam that we had made over the time. And some of it had been there. Well, Frank, it had been there more than 10 to 15 years.
Wow. Oh, boy.
So the big question was, shall we throw it or shall we no throw? Shall we put it in the container to bring it to Concordia? And we finally decided that because it's been frozen, its sugar content, it probably is going to be fine. So we put all these little containers in and we brought them in. For example, the package that I was using today on my peanut butter sandwich was dated 2009. So that was a few years old, but oh, it was delicious. So we had decided that even though it was old, we were going to keep it and eat it. And but when you stop and think about our 21st century, isn't this sort of the century where we're more likely to throw something away? If the raspberries or if the celery gets a little crinkled, out it goes. If our car gets about 60 to 80,000 miles, we trade it in. We want to find a bargain, but we want to our garbage discard containers downstairs at Concordia are crammed every week before the trash man comes. We are a nation of throwaway. It's even in jobs. If you're a pilot, and I think the cutoff date may be 60, but I could be wrong on the date. But anyway, there's a pretty young cutoff date when you're not able to fly for the major airlines. You've gotten too old. You're cast out. We would be reluctant to hire a priest as the top priest or the top minister of a church if they were 70 years old. We might have them as an assistant, but probably we think, oh, their battery is going to run out pretty soon. So once we sort of start to get a little bit old, we start thinking, there's nothing I can do. And I had a person come up to me in class a couple, 3 weeks ago, a long, long time friend. And in fact, we had shared a room when I first came to Springfield in 1958. And we're standing there talking after class. And she said, you know, Catherine, there really isn't anything I can do anymore. My husband's getting a little old and his memory's fading a little bit. And, you know, there just isn't anything I can do for the Lord, because we had talked about each of us needs to do things. And I looked at the lady and I said, and I thought a moment and I said, no, that's not right. We had had a funny and interesting thing happen that very Sunday. I was teaching the class. We were about 10 minutes into the lesson, and somebody comes down and enters the room, sort of awkward-like, looking all around, sort of talking out loud. And I recognize the person, but I know he's a friend of my friend who and her husband, who had just she had just said, I can't do anything more. And we settled it. We got him down in a chair, and I think he enjoyed class, and he was back this last Sunday, so I know he must have been okay. But I said to Peggy, you know what? Right now your task is for you and your husband to contact this guy and tell him how much we love to have him in the class. Encourage him to get back. Reach out to him. I said, Peggy, you don't have to have a lot of time to do that. You don't have to have lots and lots of energy. You can take care of your husband. But you also can reach out. You're not a throwaway. You are still a worker bee. And we each need, Frank, to find what is our job that we need to worship, certainly, but we also need to work. God didn't put us on this earth just to sit and listen. He also said, work. Labor is good for you. So my concluding thoughts to everybody today is, regardless of how old or gray or wrinkled, or even if your memory is starting to fade just a bit, as mine does also sometimes, find out that you are not a throwaway. There are things you can do, and I just like to encourage you to do that. Find somebody that you can help or something you can do. Have a good day.
You have a great day. And right, there are no throwaway people. God didn't make people to be thrown away. Do you have a final thought for us?
Well, just to reflect back on St. Patty's Day, do you know why you should never iron a four-leaf clover?
Why?
You don't want to press your luck.
That's terrific. Happy St. Patrick's Day, Kathy, and to everyone else listening. God bless you, and God bless St. Patrick, and God bless the Irish for always, but for that day especially. Frank McKay signing off. We'll see you all next time on Ransom Notes.
You've been listening to Breaking It Down with Frank McKay. The most intriguing talk in talk radio.